I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
I'm here, Jillian.
We're all just waiting on you there.
Well, I was, I had to finish my tuna, and it's sitting right here. Thank you again for a lovely lunch.
Yeah, well,
fantastic.
You know, anytime. I think Autumn did the work there, but I'm happy to take the credit.
Oh.
You're welcome.
Sorry, Autumn.
You're welcome. Shut up, Autumn. You're welcome, Janice.
Yeah. So, okay, I wanted to tell a story of something that happened the other day. But I wanted to try to make sure that there was a reason I was telling the story.
Okay.
So then I thought, oh, wait, why am I sharing the story and what can I share with our listeners that will be worthwhile hearing? Now, it might be a bit of a stretch, so we're going to meander a bit, which I'm sure that everybody listening is used to. What a shock.
Yeah, really, I was just going to say.
I'm just going to randomly meander. But here we go. So Heidi and I, on one of our date nights, decided that we wanted to try this new restaurant in town.
Okay.
And it's a sushi restaurant, right? And I'm not going to say the name because I don't want to upset anybody. Not that there was anything wrong with the experience, but anyway. So to make a long story short, I call Autumn and I'm like, hey, can you get us reservations for this place? And we want to go. And she calls me back and she goes, it's chef's choice. And I go, oh, what do you mean? And she's like, there's no menu. You can't order. They just serve you. So I was like, well, you know what? This will be an experience, right? So I go, well, Autumn, how could you think I'm so close-minded? Book me. Mm-hmm. So Autumn books my reservation, right? And Heidi and I go, and it's the coolest spot, I must admit. Like, the location's cool. The design is cool. And they're like, oh, we have a spot for you at the sushi bar. Mistake number one. And I love a bar. Not a booze bar, but I love to sit at the bar.
Yeah.
There's something about the vibe that I like. It's casual, and I get to watch everything that's going on back there, which is fun for me, especially when they're making sushi, because it's so full of artistry. And I, you know, I'm like, oh, they're making the wasabi on the skin of a shark. Oh, you know, I like neato. So anyway, they begin to bring the dishes, and it's very traditional Japanese food. Now, if you've been to Japan ever at all and had Japanese sushi, it is nothing even remotely like a spicy tuna roll.
No. Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, no, that's not sushi. Just like American yoga is not, or westernized yoga is not Indian yoga. The origination of yoga, okay. Right? And even if, like, a pizza doesn't taste anything like a pizza when you go to Italy, an American pizza and an Italian pizza are two completely different things. So, in our country, we take things that are sacred. And we modify them. That's, you know. Yeah. And we turn them into, something else.
Right, okay.
So, we add mayo to sushi and...
Right.
Fitness to yoga, and that's what happens. So anyway, we go, and this guy's like, oh, do you have things you don't eat? And my natural response is just what I always say. I'm like, I don't eat fried food, and I'm like, it's a sushi place, so I don't have to say I don't eat veal or anything like that. So I was like, we don't eat fried food. So the dishes start coming, and the first one is like, tastes a bit like a burnt tire. And I was like, all right, you know what? And he had taken some fish with, like, nothing on it and charred it with a blowtorch, which was neat. And I've seen them do that. They cook things with those little blowtorches, right? Those little creme brulee, because that's how I know it as an American. It's a creme brulee torch. Ex-fat kid. I'm like, oh, a creme brulee torch. So he takes this fish and he burns it with this torch. And there's nothing on it but a little bit of rock salt. And I'm like... And we're sitting at the bar, and I was like, this is interesting. This is, And Heidi's like. So we get to the second dish, and it's, I don't even remember, right? So he's talking to us, and he's like, oh, it's a, I don't even want to do the accent, because God forbid I offend some people. But he's Japanese, and he's got a little Japanese accent. And he's like, it's a rock something, blah, 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 with the orange or sherbet to sauce. And so it's like the chewiest, I don't know what. And it literally feels like someone's poured Orange Julius on top of it. And again, I'm like... and I start doing what we had done to Giancarlo in Japan. I start pushing it onto Heidi's plate. Because I know that Heidi won't leave it. And we're at the bar. Like, I can't hide that we're not eating it. So the third one, and I now remember them all, was jellyfish. And now my eyes, like, pop out of my head. And I'm like, oh, it's jellyfish. And he's like... Yeah, hi. And he's like, it's jellyfish and peanut sauce. And now now I'm like, I can't even get it past the old, like, I can't get it down there.
Yeah, the gag reflexes.
Like, right back. Yeah. And I was like, oh no. Oh my God. So now I'm in terror. I have no idea what's coming next. No idea what to do with it. And I look at Heidi. I'm like, I'm panicking. And I was like, I'm terrified. And she's like, you can't do this. You got to pull it together. And I was like, I go, what if what if there's an emergency? I go, call me under the table.
Oh my right? God, you're so nice. So, the funniest dynamic of any couple I've ever met.
To make a long
so
story
funny.
Short, I'm trying to hide things in the napkin. I'm trying to, so now we're onto the sushi course, and I don't like fish skin. I don't like skin. I don't eat chicken skin. I don't like skin of any kind. It's, I can't do it. So now I get a piece of sushi, and it looks like mackerel or something, and there's like this big fatty skin thing on there. And I try to eat. Now I'm trying to eat around the skin. And he looks at me, and at this point he stopped, by the way, telling us what things are, because he's irritated. And I'm really trying not to be a dick, honestly. I really am. I'm trying to just be so discreet, because it's like... I know, I've been to Japan, like, it's just the difference in, what you've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
So he looks at me and goes, you don't like?
No!
Okay, and I go, oh no, I'm just getting so full, I'm just getting very full. Takes my plate away, now. So now apparently I'm done eating, but we just started the sushi portion of the meal. And so then he starts serving Heidi, and it's like, some of it, like bluefin, toro, what have you. But I'm not allowed to eat anymore because he's taking my plate away. So
no, seriously.
On my life, Janice. It gets better though, right? So I was like, all right. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know what? Honestly, Jill, save the calories, right? I'm like, save the calories because you don't love it. So just save the calories and eat something when you get home. And to make a, so he stops speaking to us altogether, and he's serving, right? He's furious with us at this point. And, you know, he's serving Heidi, and Heidi's now terrified. So she's eating everything he puts on the plate. And it's like raw octopus, all this stuff. And we, you know, so she's like, I'm going to crap my brains out when we get home. I don't know what, she's just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And I can hear her little mouse stomach going, blurb, 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 blurb. And I'm like, oh my God. Remember that picture I sent you with the three ice creams, Heidi, yes, with the three I things of Ben and Jerry's going, we're thinking of you. That's, yeah. We went to the liquor store and bought ice cream for dinner on the way home. That was after the, so now I get the bill. Okay.
Oh no.
$500. $500. And I didn't order. There is no menu. You have no way of knowing. I wasn't even fed throughout the meal, but he charged me for everything. And I just was like, all right, you know what? We're not going to make a scene here. We're going to get in the car. We're going to go home, and we're going to chalk this up to, we're lucky that we can afford to take this hit financially, and we're going to, you know, live and learn. But I thought to myself, like, I tried so hard not to upset him. You know what I mean? And I've been to Japan, and I've eaten authentic Japanese food. It's hard because it doesn't taste like anything you're used to. So, you know, there are very few places you're going to go in Japan where you're going to get the spicy tuna roll. That's just not, you know, they're going to serve you like conch shell and, you know, urchin, all kinds of kind of jellyfish, things like that. Things you're not really used to that haven't been westernized. And I could see how mad he was. And it was like, and it kind of reminded me, and this is really where the lesson for me came out. And I thought, okay, I get it. This is an art form. And in your mind, I don't appreciate it. And, you know, I'm ignorant, and I'm an ignorant American, and I get it. But you just kind of like, you know, no soup for you. It was like the sushi Nazi. And I was like, this is not sort of how we bridge these gaps between people and between cultures, and like, give me a chance. You know, it's like, no, the jellyfish and the peanut sauce is not going to be something that I'm going to be accustomed to. You know, I don't know in my lifetime if I'd be accustomed to it, but you know, I can warm up with other things that are slightly less radical for an American. Mm-hmm. And it got me thinking about how people are so attached to the concept of certainty, and that there's only one way to do things the right way. And if you don't do it their way or appreciate it their way, that you're shut down and you're shut out. And I've noticed a lot of this, like, here I go, meandering. But I was reading my Twitter the other day, you know, because I try to get on there at least once a day and try to answer a few people. And some girl on there was like, I just saw Jillian Michaels' Scum. And I was like, Scum? I haven't gotten Scum ever. Scum.
No, I've never
Scum's
seen
a new one. I was like, wow. And I was like, that's not nice. I was like, why am I Scum? And it was because I don't believe that people should worry about gluten. That's why she was that angry. Obviously, there's other things going on with this woman. But I have seen, by the way, some of the biggest haters I've ever had are vegans who are angry because I'm not vegan, or paleo people who are angry because I'm not paleo, or gluten-free people who are angry because I'm not gluten-free. And same thing with religion. It's like, no, my religion is the one true path to God, and if you don't buy into my religion, you're going to hell. Or whatever, you know? And I feel like this certainty, it comes from fear. It comes from insecurity, and it comes from shame. And I was reading a lot about shame the other day, and I came across something that said blaming other people is a way to discharge pain and discomfort. And I thought that's so true, because this guy is obviously feeling, maybe, you know, he's clearly Japanese. He was obviously from Japan, Japanese. This is an art form. And it's clearly like when someone comes along and breaks up the status quo of anything in life, something like this art form of their food, their cuisine that has existed for thousands of years, or your religion or your diet or something you hold sacred, and challenges it. It's discomforting. It's unsettling. It's scary. It makes you wonder if you're doing it right or you're doing it wrong. And it brings up your issues of insecurity and everything. But I feel like if we could just kind of open our mind to the fact that there is not one path in life to an end goal. There isn't one path to God. There isn't one path to health. There isn't one path to anything. That we would essentially allow ourselves to become more open and more connected with other people. And it's interesting because we're hardwired to be connected from a neurobiological standpoint, to be connected with other people. And yet our fears and our insecurities by nature keep us so disconnected because we're not open to the way other people think. We're not accepting oftentimes of the differences that they have with us. It's scary and it's threatening. And we shut out so many different people and so many different things that we could learn from and grow from. And it doesn't mean you're going to adapt to it. It doesn't mean you're going to take it on. But it does allow you to coexist and experience new things and open you up. And yeah, maybe there will be something that will inspire you. And so I did think, okay, you know what? Yes, I'm sure mayo in the sushi is just criminal to you. But at the same time, this is how we as people expand and evolve. We take inspiration from something and we change it a little bit. We add our personality. We add our culture. And that's creativity. If that makes any sense.
Okay. Do you want me to tell you what your part in all this is?
Go.
As an observer?
Please.
That your part in this is you were afraid to offend.
Very much so. Because I knew it was sacred for him. But I did offend him, and look what happened.
Well, and the only reason I say this is, you know the books, he wrote all those books, The Girl and the Dragon Tattoo.
Mm.
I don't know the whole title. Anyway, I saw the first installment. There's a quick scene where Daniel Craig, Peter Sarsgaard, he's the guy that starred in it. Anyway, he invites him into the house. Daniel Craig knows he's going probably to he's going to be in trouble by going in the house, but he goes anyway because the guy says, come in for a drink.
Yeah,
and Daniel Craig goes,
no.
I don't want to offend you. And that's what the guy who's going to try and kill him says. You're so afraid to offend that you just walked into it. So I'm not trying to make this a big thing, but we as a culture also. So instead of you going,
I don't like fish skin.
I don't like this.
Yeah,
because you didn't want to offend him.
It's true. And then I ended up offending him anyway. And I tried so hard not to. Yeah.
And it's just a weird dynamic.
It's true.
Because you were trying to honor him because you knew he took pride in that, yet to your own detriment.
True. But the interesting thing is I thought, well, you know what? I don't have to eat it. I can just say I'm feeling a little more full. But he knew, obviously, that I didn't like it. And because they watched, I was sitting at the bar. And I just thought, like, hey, maybe, you know, how could that have gone differently? Like, how could we have worked together where I could have tried some new thing? But he was pissed from go.
Right.
And like, you're right. Maybe I could have said, you know what? This is a little too radical for me. Is there any way we could sort of, but he could tell it was too radical for me. You're right, though. I could have communicated a little bit better. But it just made me, you're right, Janice. I could have been more vulnerable. I could have communicated a little bit better. Maybe I could have opened him up a little bit if I was a little more receptive. That's true. But it's so interesting to me how he was so offended by the fact that I've never had octopus or jellyfish, you know?
Right.
It's just not something we serve. I've never developed a taste for it. And it's like, if it's not his way of sushi, then you're an idiot. Or if it's not the way that you diet. And then the other day, I got kind of confronted by something because I posted something on Facebook about working out in heat. And I accidentally ended up in a hot yoga class the other day because I didn't know it was a hot yoga class. And I was like, oh, for Christ's sake. And the thing is, a lot of people believe that when you sweat, you detox. So they go to hot yoga. Mm. Not true. You detox through your kidneys and your liver. So that's not the truth. They also think, oh, well, I'm getting a better calorie burn because it elevates heart rate. It's like, well, you can only elevate your heart rate so high safely. If you elevate your heart rate by working out harder, you're going to get, A, better results with regard to your level of fitness because you're getting stronger, faster, and so on. You're not just elevating heart rate because it's friggin' hot outside. You're getting fitter, and you're elevating your metabolism longer after the workout's over because you've worked harder during your exercise regimen, so the epoch, or essentially the afterburn of your workout, will be greater. These are facts. These are fitness facts, right? Then I see on Facebook the people that love hot yoga going, well, just because Jillian says it doesn't make it true. And I'm like, but it is true. These are facts. And then I was like, well, now wait a second. Hold on, Jill. I was like, now are you doing this thing where you're right and everyone else is wrong? Even though the facts of what I'm saying, working out in heat do not make you detox or burn more calories. That is a fact. However, if there are people that like it, then essentially they enjoy it. That's their path to fitness. And if they like it more than a different kind of workout that they're not going to do, then this is the way for them. And that is the answer. Even though the fact remains the fact, sweating doesn't detox the body. It cools the body. Yes, it does. But regardless, so I don't know. I think what I'm asking is we get so caught up in this certain way of thinking. This mm-hmm. is the right way, and it's the only way. And the reality is it isn't. There are, a million different ways to skin a cat, for less of a more disgusting analogy, or cliche, I'm sorry. There are. And when we can start looking at why we have to feel our way is the only way or our way is the right way, it's coming from insecurity, I guarantee you.
Sure.
And that insecurity is depriving you from experiencing the world and the people in it and making new connections and feeling a part of something. Even though something is different from you, it doesn't mean that you can't connect with it and enjoy it and experience it. It doesn't mean that you're wrong and they're right. It's just simply different, and there's a beauty in that. So that's really where I wanted to go with my $500 sushi debacle.
Oh, my God.
And then we ended up eating ice cream for dinner.
Sorry, that is just
but
the
I was
best
like, hey, I've
ever.
Got the calories. So I, you know, I was like, all right. Yeah.
And wow.
Yeah, that didn't go so well.
Man, I'm sorry.
I'm going to send you that.
I laugh, but I am sorry.
Jeez, it just made me think about the time I went to the Korean spa. And the ladies were wearing the black lingerie, smacking us
didn't
on the...
Didn't they slap your
ass? Oh, I wonder...
Didn't they slap your ass?
They slapped us on... slapped Heidi on the ass. He slapped Heidi on the ass. I wonder if I can get her. All right, let's see if I can get her a little interpretation of... Because I'm not quite sure what really went wrong. Let's see if I can get her. Hang on a minute.
Technology. Hello?
Hey, honey?
Yeah.
So I was just sharing with the gang our 500. Yes, you're on the air. Our of course you're on the air. I wouldn't call you if you weren't on the air. Why would I want to talk to you for just no reason? So.
Well, I had questions I needed to ask you, but okay, go on.
Oh, you have well, you'll have to wait, honey. The people want to know.
Okay.
So,
oh,
Heidi,
so I was
so
talking
sorry.
About our $500 sushi adventure.
Yes.
And I was just wondering if you had any feedback about what you think went wrong.
What went wrong?
Yeah, what do you think? What do you think? Where do you think we made a hard right turn straight into the ninth circle of hell?
Well, I didn't think it was as bad as you thought it was, though. I ate everything, but kind of out of guilt.
Out of guilt? See, and then you almost crapped your pants on the way home.
Yeah. No, I didn't.
You said, I'm sick, honey, and I sped up to get home.
I did feel a little bit nauseous, I think.
But right.
It was okay.
Right.
Where did we go wrong? I don't know. I think I read the Yelp reviews and everyone thought it was amazing, so I went in expecting deliciousness. And I think I convinced myself it was delicious until we got to, I think, the jellyfish.
I convinced myself
yeah.
it was delicious.
She did. She was like this. Eating her charred tire, her blowtorch tire. And she's like... Mm.
But that's what...
So I just kept putting my food on her plate. And yeah.
But Heidi, that's so funny because it's like, everybody says this place is great. It's got to be great. So it's like, that's
yeah.
so funny. You convince yourself
yeah.
it's delicious. So
yeah.
Funny.
Where do you think we lost our chef, though?
Oh, God. I think the second dish was the orange sauce where I think he noticed you passed it off to me. And then he didn't like us from there on. For you. I think he was okay with me.
And if there was any takeaway, honey, on how to avoid these kinds of uncomfortable situations and try to connect with people on a deeper level, would you have any tips here? Or?
I think number one, don't listen to Yelp reviews. Number two, don't do a tasting menu.
Yeah.
Number three, don't sit in front of the chef.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
But I think it was good to try new things.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
See, Heidi always knows how to put a ribbon on it.
Yes, well, that's her job.
You got something out of it. a nice segment on the podcast, maybe. I hope it's nice. I don't know.
I did tell Heidi when we got in the car, I was like, I didn't spend this $500 for nothing. I'm talking about this. Oh, bleep that, Janice.
Yes.
I was like, I'm going to talk about this. This is another tragic story from the life of Jillian Michaels. Yeah. All right.
Can we talk about the birthday cake yet or no?
I forgot about the, oh my God. Do you know what this woman did? This bitch buys organic everything, right? I cannot buy chapstick if it's not organic. I mean, literally, like, everything in the house is organic. The cleaner is organic. Everything's organic. But what does she do? She buys a nuclear waste Sesame Street cake for my 2-year-old's birthday. Okay? That ends up, thanks to my 66-year-old mother, becoming the tool for a food fight. Right. Is this not right, my love?
No, it's right.
Right. So now I've got 30 adults and about 20 kids having a food fight with a, like, fire engine red, arctic blue, like, canary yellow Sesame Street frosting cake all over my yard. All over the, and my mom smashes a cake thing into my face. My face was stained bright red for 2 days. 2 days. That's how toxic this cake is. And I looked at her and I go, honey, what made you decide to spare the expense on our 2-year-old's birthday and for the first time in the 5 years I've known you? By the most gnarly, poisonous cake that you could find. What happened there, babe?
Well, I thought it was ridiculous to spend a lot of money on a 2-year-old's birthday cake, but I think I learned.
Oh, you learned. Was your face red for 48 hours? Huh?
No,
it wasn't, honey. No, it wasn't. But I'm glad that you've learned. I was traumatized? Phoenix was. Tell him that, sweetie. Tell him what happened there.
Oh, because she couldn't see anything. Her entire face was covered in red, even her eyes. And so Phoenix just started hysterical crying and going, "Face, face." And whenever you bring up his birthday, he says, "Mama, face," and starts to cry.
Yeah, and my mom was cackling like the Wicked Witch of the West in the corner. Yeah, this is my family. This is my life.
Oh,
it's one disaster after another.
Uh-huh. This is just too rich. These stories are too rich.
Yeah. All right. Well, is there something you need?
Me? No. Just look at your phone whenever you have a chance.
All right. I love you.
We're at lunch right now.
Okay, babe. I love you.
All right. Love you.
Bye. Yeah. That's what she did. She bought this cake from hell.
And your face?
My face was red. Have you not seen the photo? You want to see the photo? Take a look at this. Look, yeah. Look what my mother did to my face.
Bruce Paul.
Oh my God.
But wait till you see what it did to my face.
Well, you're smiling at least.
No, it was eat it. After I saw what it did to my hands and my face, I wouldn't dare put it in my insides. Wait till you see what this stuff did, though. This is how toxic this cake was.
Well, yeah, it's like red dye 49.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not even a color.
You have
it's
no.
A
yeah.
It's,
it's 49. It's exactly right. Look at this. Look at this. Here, look at my mom's face. Look at her face. Look at her cackling. What happens? I mean, this is a woman that buys, literally, I have organic underwear, for God's sake, okay? The cotton on my underwear is friggin' organic. And then for the birthday party of my 2-year-old, she buys cake made from literally nuclear waste fallout.
That's awesome.
Like it's like Chernobyl at my house after this cake.
She got that area.
Yeah.
What's that place in the desert
with the aliens? Yeah. I got it from the Area 51 bakery. Yeah. Oh my God! For days. Talking about Blue Apron right now. You excited, Manis?
I am.
Yeah. Guys, maybe you've heard me talk about this company already. They are so cool. Here is what they do. They deliver all the fresh ingredients you need right to your doorstep in the exact proportions to make delicious meals of your choice. And guess what? This means no trips to the grocery store, no waste from unused ingredients, and no waste of extra cost. Plus, we all know the healthy advantages of cooking a meal at home instead of bringing in food or going out and getting food, because you cannot control how much salt, sugar, oil, butter they put into the food. Each menu takes 40 minutes or less. You simply sign up at blueapron.com/Jillian today. And guess what? You can get 3 meals per week for 2 people, starting as low as $9.99 per person. Plus, there's free shipping. So for a limited time, all my listeners who sign up at blueapron.com/Jillian will be eligible for 2 meals free on their first delivery, which is a value of up to $20 on your first order. The next order I have coming in is the North African spiced shrimp. Drool, drool. Now, Blue Apron is a subscription service with no commitment, and this means you can cancel at any time you want. It's great for families, it's great for people on the go, couples looking for a healthier alternative to takeout. Just go to blueapron.com/Jillian and check it out. Audible.com is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the internet. Audible allows users to choose the audio versions of their favorite books with a library of over 150,000 titles. You can purchase individual books, or for real savings, you can sign up for the Audible Listener Program for a low monthly fee, which is what I do because I get a lot of books on tape. Yes. You can download your favorites and then listen on your PC or your Mac, of course. Burn them onto CDs, upload them onto your iPad or your other MP3 device. It's quick, it's easy, it's fun, it's affordable entertainment for people of all ages. If you want to listen to it, Audible has it. As I said, they have over 150,000 titles and virtually every genre, so you will find what you're looking for. And right now, you can get a free audiobook and a 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. That's www.audiblepodcast.com/exercise. audiblepodcast.com/exercise.
Well, I guess I have a snappy one because I don't think you want to do this one.
Oh, but what is it?
Well, it's 10 ways yoga will make you a better lover.
See, well, how do you know I don't want to do that one?
Well, I just...
Do you, where did you find this segment?
I found, well, let's see. I found it on, hang on. I found it on, oh, the Huffington Post.
Oh, so you're plagiarizing.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, plagiarizing from the Huffington Post.
Sounds good. What do you got for me?
Rudy Mattia wrote it.
Go ahead.
All right. Now, see, well, because this is a, I thought this would be a good love doctor segment. So I'm going to have to be the love nurse.
All right.
So this is the love nurse.
I'm ready.
Not the wet nurse, but the love nurse.
Got it.
All right. Well, this is 10 ways that make you better lover. Yoga helps you master the art of focusing on the moment at hand.
I can see that.
Use your focus to zero in on your partner and your partner alone.
Oh.
It'll only be a matter of time before he or she reciprocates by focusing solely on you. Haven't you ever been with somebody and all of a sudden they're like looking at the hockey game or something?
See, my thing with yoga is that it really gives you that whole mind-body connection. I think as a woman, it's important for women to focus on their own bodies. I think women have a hard time connecting to their sexuality. I think it's the opposite of that. And I don't think that because you're giving a lover, I hate that word, that necessarily your partner will be a giving lover. I think they are or they're not. So I disagree, but I do have a benefit for yoga. And I think that it puts you in touch with your own body. Go on.
Right, because it's women, I think, have to concentrate harder to climb the mountain.
Yes.
That's right. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Number two, timely sensations. Yoga heightens your sensitivity to sensation. We all know sex is a smorgasbord of erotic... Ooh, my.
Smorgasbord? Rudy Mattia. That's really not a word I like to think about when I think of sex.
Well, just like yoga, sex requires that you know when to back off or slow down when it's too late or too early for one of you.
So it gives you self-control.
I mean, that sounds like it's more self-control.
Okay.
That's what Rudy says.
But I would just say stop doing that. If I needed to,
You know what? Probably one of the worst things to my ego was when someone said to me, "What the hell are you doing?"
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's why you're still single.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Someone said to me, "What the hell are you doing?" And I thought I was. And I think I shared that, didn't I? Share that
were
about
you drunk,
I was doing
man?
The moves.
Was that when you were drunk?
No.
Drunk again? That's when you were sober. Wow.
Yeah, and I thought I was
maybe
doing
you
the
need
fancy.
To start drinking.
Didn't
again.
I share this about the fancy? I did the big move.
What
the
was big your fancy? Big move again?
I don't think I need to go there.
All right. All right. I'm trying to help.
Anyway, I thought I was doing something that was like fantastic, and they said, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Ooh,
something fantastic." That's what you should have said.
I should have said that, but of course my ego.
And if you did more yoga, you'd be able to appreciate it.
Well, I wasn't
that's
doing yoga then.
No, I, them, you
oh,
should have
yes.
said.
Yeah, you would have appreciated well, this,
yoga.
Fancy, this fancy move. Yeah. Connected breaths. Breath, not breasts. Connected breaths. Next time you're in yoga yeah. class, pay attention to your breath. Of course we do.
Well, yeah, yeah, yogi breathing, yeah.
So to see if your breath, you can Hatha, create with yeah. someone to get in sync. Breath can play. Okay, well, I don't know if that's
that
true.
That sounds a little odd.
Because if you're climbing the mountain.
On three, inhale.
Yeah, like one, yeah.
Ready, exhale. Why do yeah. you need to breathe at the same? I don't ever think I stop to say, hey, or what are you inhaling
says,
here?
Pay attention to your partner's breath.
Why?
The Rudy says that you'll yeah. get in sync. Endless flexibility. Well, this one's a given,
endless
he says.
Flexibility.
A regular yoga practice will keep your body flexible and agile enough to know when, to know that when the back seat of the car has to do, it will. Oh, Rudy.
Oh, wait. So if you do yoga, you can have sex in the back of the car?
That's what Rudy Mattia says.
You know, I don't have endless flexibility from yoga, but I will say that hopefully...
You've done it in the back
well,
seat?
Well, I've got... You know, I got to tell you, after having kids, there are times when it seems to be the only option. Not kidding. I swear, I told Heidi I would be a billionaire if I started a love motel for parents. Because it's like in Japan, they have these things called love motels. And literally you go and you like rent a room by the hour and there's themes like the jungle room and the Elvis room.
Yeah,
because it's like my mom comes over to babysit. What am I supposed to do? Hey, mom, we're just going to run upstairs for an hour. Like, what do we do? I'm like, well, there's the backseat of the car or not. So it's like you have a sitter, but you're not going to excuse yourself to go upstairs. I was thinking of starting a love motel. You keep it clean. You rent by the hour. You can have little themes.
I think we've talked about this, the love motel.
It's genius, I think. Yeah.
You ask your mom to come over and babysit so you and...
No, oh. we... No, I'm saying that seems like not
a
good
a
idea.
There.
Right?
I was going to phone your mother.
No, my mom would be like, that's fine, honey. I'll be here. Are you guys growing grass in the bathroom as well? Are you kidding me?
Ultimate union. Yoga literally means to yoke together. What?
What? You don't even know what you're talking
well,
about.
Well, this is Rudy Mattia says, sex is the ultimate union. If you can unite your mind, body, and spirit on a yoga mat, you'll be able to unite with your lover in bed. Okay, well, that's...
No! That's absurd. That's an introspective practice. If you're uniting your mind, body, and spirit, it means you're coming into alignment with your authentic truth. But it's a completely different skill set to unite with your partner's mind, body, and spirit. I disagree.
How come Autumn's so quiet during this segment?
I don't know. Why are
patient
you so...
foreplay.
Okay. Oh, all right. Yeah.
When it comes to yoga practice, chances are you aren't diving into your most difficult position straight off the bat. You're
good.
Taking time to warm up and you only slip into a pose when the pose is ready. Think of your yoga warm-up as foreplay.
Okay.
If you're not in a hurry, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Well, that's
okay.
Yeah.
So a little patience. Sure.
Grooving moves.
Okay.
When it comes to yoga and sex, one thing is critical, flow. In yoga, you find your groove as you move.
You don't always flow in yoga, but yeah, a lot of yoga does flow.
Take a cue and remember that next time you're lying there qualifies as lovemaking. Oh, I don't think so.
When you're in Shavasana?
Yeah, I
you're
don't think
lovemaking?
So. I mean, I've been classic.
This guy's an a-hole. I don't think, no. No.
You can't say Rudy. This is Rudy's opinion.
Yeah, that wasn't Tangled, nice of me. I'm sorry, Rudy.
Yeah.
That was mean. Go on. That was inappropriate of me and close-minded to not allow you to have your opinion.
Just rude. That was rude.
It was. You're right.
Yeah. Tangled limbs. It's no surprise that yoga or the Kama Sutra come from the same place. Oh. Tangled arms and legs are specifically of both. Certain yoga poses translate quite well into the bedroom if you copy the Kama. Okay, I've seen pictures of the Kama Sutra.
Sting does the Kama Sutra.
No, he does.
That's why Trudy Styler's so happy all the time.
He does tantric sex.
Isn't that the same thing?
I don't think so. That means they do it for like.
Is anybody going to speak from a place of authority on this show or not?
No, we're
just going to read what somebody else wrote and comment from a completely uneducated place.
No, I thought this would be. I'm the love nurse speaking via Rudy Mattia. Hmm. Couples yoga. Mm. Sex done right is yoga. If you're used to setting aside 90 minutes a day to practice yoga, consider swapping out a practice for sessions with your loved one instead.
That's 90 minutes.
Phoning your mom for the
babysitter. That's a happy wife. Who's got 90 minutes?
Every day?
90 minutes?
Every day. I do. I got plenty of time.
I see how you're using it.
Don't feel regulated to the yoga mat. You can practice couples yoga. Whatever. The last one, the afterglow. In yoga, you work hard for 60 minutes, and then you get this glorious 50 minutes shavasana to allow the magic of the practice to seep into your soul.
Okay.
True. Make sure that in lovemaking, you allow for cuddle time so that you both can relish the afterglow. No one's allowed to run out of the yoga class the minute after flow is complete, and you shouldn't be running out on your partner either.
I think that's ideal. Sometimes not quite so easy.
Good thought.
But I think it's ideal. I guess he's not into the quickie, eh, Janice?
Nope. There's no, hey, Mom, can you babysit back the Tesla for him? For Rudy. Rudy Mattia.
Yeah.
That's Rudy's. There you go. That's the love nurse.
I will say, though,
yes?
If I was to look at this, knowing what I know about yoga, it does allow you to have a better mind-body connection. It makes you more aware of your body, more aware of the feelings that go on in your body, more aware of the emotions that you hold in your body, somatizing, internalizing things that go on, and we tend to store that in our body, and sometimes it gets released during sex. And do you think that it does? Of course, any exercise is going to improve your sex life. One, because you're going to look better, you're going to feel better, you're going to have more energy. And sure, it's increasing blood flow, which is really important in sex for men and women. The flexibility thing, I'm not more flexible. I wish that I was. But I'm not in the most aggressively flexible positions, I guess I would say. Unlike you, Janice, who did a reverse cowboy on a stool in front of a live audience just a few short weeks ago. But I would say, look, I'm all for, I think yoga's great. And if it, I definitely can see how it would help transcend into the bedroom. I don't think that isn't Shavasana a corpse pose?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say that corpse pose really translates to sex for me personally. But
maybe
Rudy's
cobbler's pose.
Cobbler's pose?
Yeah, you know, this is cobbler's pose. When you put your feet together like this, you sit like that. I think that's a sexy position. I feel sexy
cobbler's
in
pose.
In
There's
yoga.
No such thing as cobbler's pose.
Yeah. Oh, Jillian.
No. Yeah. Temple?
No, this is cobbler's pose.
No.
This is cobbler's pose.
I'm calling Heidi.
Here, like this.
There's no such
and
thing.
You push,
no.
You bring your, and you bring your legs
Oh,
really
she's
going
to be with Dan. I'm probably not going to be able to reach her.
Oh, my God.
No, that's not cobbler's pose.
I don't want to know about your practice.
I just don't think there's such a thing.
Oh, Jillian.
Hold
Let
on.
Let me find this for you. Yoga
this.
Poses. Oh.
There's no such thing.
Cobbler's pose, you silly. Oh. Why do I have to? Why does the nurse have to do everything?
She's not. How to do cobbler's pose?
See, cobbler's pose. Now I feel sexy in cobbler's pose.
That's scary.
Well, that's what happens.
Okay.
Okay. Well,
please don't ever do that pose in here with us.
Save that.
Save that for my next time I do my moves on somebody.
Yeah. Yes.
I thought it was a hell of a move. I was so proud of
it. Like I said, that person just wasn't doing yoga.
Yeah, well, that's anyway. So there you go. There's the, what was that segment about again? Oh, 10.
Yoga and sex.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll check that one off.
Thanks for your contribution. Footcardigan.com. You guys have to check these guys out. They are a site devoted solely to fun socks. Sweaters for your feet. A subscription to Foot Cardigan will get your dad. What about me, though? What if is it just for men?
No.
What if I want this? Yeah. So, okay, so we'll say...
Or the recipient of the your recipient. Choice,
Thank
in
you.
My case, okay, my boyfriend. Okay. It doesn't even have to be a guy.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a guy. Thank you. Okay. We'll be the recipient of your choice. One random pair of whimsical socks delivered to his or her mailbox. You heard that right. Dad will remember your awesome gift every month for as long as you want him to. This is kind of genius. You can sign up for 3, 6, 9, or even 12-month prepaid subscriptions that deliver a fun new pair of socks every month. That's cute.
I thought it was really cool.
It is cute. All right, so right now for our listeners, footcardigan.com is offering 10% off any subscription. Go to footcardigan.com and enter FATHER3. That's lowercase FATHER and the number 3 during checkout. And your dad will remember this Father's Day every single month. But of course, if you're getting it for you, I guess you can still enter FATHER3, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, here's why I love our latest sponsor. Because they send me their product. And they send it to me once. And I thought, oh, this is wonderful. I get all these snacks and treats because I'm testing out the product. But then they sent it to me again. Do you think they forgot and just sent it again? Should we say anything?
No.
Or should I just keep things?
Keep it.
Good. That's what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. So I'm serious, actually. I'm talking about naturebox.com, which is an online subscription-based service that offers automated delivery of wholesome, nutritionist-approved snacks on a monthly basis wherever you like. They'll deliver to your home, your office, anywhere. And they abide by strict quality standards, so there's no high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no trans fats, no artificial sweeteners, no artificial flavors, no artificial colors, none of the garbage. And whatever your dietary needs are, they've got you covered. If you're vegan, if you're gluten-free, you name it. These things are the bomb, by the way. The lemon pistachios, heaven. Heaven. And they change every month. So the Nature Box has come in 3 sizes at 3 different price points to fit all of your snacking and budget needs. Special for our listeners, naturebox.com is offering new customers 50% off their first month's box. All you got to do is go to naturebox.com/Jillian for snacks you can feel great about. So go check it out. Okay, Janice, I have another snappy, snappy-ish.
Semi'll do.
Semi-snappy, half-snap.
Half-snap.
Yeah. Ready? Yep. Healthy tips that can actually prevent weight loss.
Mm-hmm. Prevent weight loss?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Mistakes, if you will.
Mistakes.
Mistakes.
Mistakes rather than tips, because tips is like,
well, people, you know, give them as tips, but they're not actually. Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
They're not actually tips, they're mistakes.
Okay.
Here we go. All right. You know how this whole juicing thing has become the second coming, so to speak.
Oh, yeah, everybody's getting the big blender. What do you call it?
Which is, by the way, I mean, great, but there's a lot of misconceptions about juice. So I see people like after the workout going and getting the juice, and it's got like 400 calories in it.
400. Some of them have 700 calories
in them.
Isn't
that crazy?
Yeah.
So here's a good rule of thumb with juice. I'm all for juice. First of all, if you're not trying to lose weight, then by all means, go ahead. Work the juice into your, if you're an athlete and you're working out and you want to go get a juice, great. But
if you're not and you are trying to lose weight, or even if you're an athlete who's trying to lose weight, a good rule of thumb with the juicing is you juice the vegetables, you eat the fruit. Because otherwise, you're just consuming massive quantities of sugar. Fruit juice is sugar.
I just came across a question about that. Should you eat the fruit or juice the fruit? Something about...
Eat the fruit. So you get the fiber.
Yeah.
First of all, you get way less calories because the fiber makes you feel full. And the delivery system of the way the body has to break down the fiber of the fruit and so on slows down the insulin release and blah, blah, blah. But yeah, you don't want to drink fruit juice. Now, if I'm making a little green drink with some kale and some celery and some lemon and some... Yes, I'll put in like a half an apple so I don't gag. But I'm like, All right, it's 50 calories, maybe, of the apple juice. It's not the end of the world. And I'm working into my calorie allowance, and I'm also not trying to lose weight. And I'm putting it in with all my other phytonutrients from the greens. Mm-hmm. But that's not, people are juicing is healthy. Yeah, juicing is healthy. It is. Go to town. But with fruit juice, you really don't want fruit juice. And if you are incorporating fruit, it should be very minimally in your vegetable juice to make it more palatable.
That makes sense. That's why when I load up on a fruit smoothie, yeah.
McManus.
I know. McBig back fat.
McSupersize McManus. Yeah. Okay. Are you ready for the next one?
Yes.
We've talked about this before, but I still find myself constantly debunking this one. Do not work out on an empty stomach. And a lot of people think, when I work on an empty stomach, I don't have any blood sugar. And so what that's doing is essentially allowing me to burn more fat. But in fact, no, it's not the case. So what will happen is that, A, you'll have less energy. You could feel dizzy. You could feel lightheaded. You won't push as hard in your workout, which means when you don't work as hard, you won't burn as many calories. And regardless, the body is going to pull some calories from sugar, blood sugar, and some calories from fat. And if you don't have any blood sugar available, your body can become catabolic and start metabolizing its own muscle to convert it into fuel, because fat actually cannot turn into sugar, but your muscle can. So, yeah.
And if I've ever done that, I'm ravenous at the end of my workout.
Yeah,
like,
and
just
you overeat.
Like a horse. And again, big McBackfat.
McBackfat. Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
Okay, ready? Another one.
No.
This is another one I've talked about, but for some reason it doesn't seem to go away. Do not snack throughout the day. Eating throughout the day is not a good weight loss strategy for a million different reasons. From a behavioral perspective, you're never sitting down and having a full, complete meal, so it's unlikely you'll ever feel fully satiated. You'll possibly lose track of the calories. And on top of that, you have a constant insulin surge all day long when you're eating throughout the day. You're never getting into what's called a post-absorptive phase, where you've eaten, your blood sugar has dissipated, you go into your stores, and then you eat again. Snacking throughout the day was a bodybuilding strategy to build muscle. This was not a weight loss strategy ever. This is not the way to lose weight. You ready for another one, Janice?
Yep.
Okay. People always think that cardio is the way to lose weight. Cardio is absolutely better than nothing. But when it comes to exercising to lose weight, the key is obviously to burn calories. And the way to burn calories is to do metabolic circuit training. And that means resistance training that's done in circuits so that the heart rate stays up. So we're constantly moving. We're burning as many calories as possible. Heart rate's elevated. We're conditioning the cardiovascular system while simultaneously conditioning and strengthening the muscles.
What happened to the old circuit? Remember the original circuit training? You don't see that anymore. Remember they had like the stations, and then you do a thing, and then you do the stairs in the middle, do a thing. They had the lights. Remember green, red, green?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, really? Oh,
no.
Okay.
You're old.
Man, yeah. That must have been back in the 30s before the war.
I think so. Okay. Eating too little. This is a big one. If you're working out a lot and you're eating too little, your body is going to think that it's starving, and it will start to release hormones like ghrelin, which is a hunger hormone, cortisol, which is a stress hormone, these fight or flight survival hormones, to slow down your metabolism, the rate that we burn fat and calories. The key, do not go below 1,200 calories, women, and men don't go below 1,600, so you won't trigger that survival mechanism and dampen your metabolic function.
Remember when we took that flywheel class when we were on tour?
Yeah.
You, me, and Giancarlo?
Yeah.
And the three of us did that. Did you eat before that, or did
you
eat?
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't work out on an empty stomach ever.
Ever?
No. I don't have any energy to work out on an empty stomach. Yeah, I ate before. Why?
Well, I was just wondering, because I was exhausted at the end of that, and you didn't seem to be very tired.
Well, I am me, and you are you, but...
You never gave me my socks back. I lent you those socks.
I offered you the socks back, and you said no thanks.
No, I thought you'd wash... You gave them back to me after you had sweated in them.
You could have sold them on eBay.
You know that
everything... Guess what? Nothing. Yeah.
I didn't know I could make money off you. Oh, well.
I got another.
Oh, so I'm so sorry. Yeah. Yes? Yeah.
I often see, and I still can't believe I see this, people in the gym in, like, sauna suits and sweatsuits and jackets.
Oh, what up with that?
And they think that, oh, the more I sweat, the harder I'm working. In fact, though, you're, A, fatiguing your system. You're not going to be able to work out as hard when you're that hot. And, B, you're dehydrating the body. And, in fact, proper hydration increases metabolism by up to 3%. So avoid the sauna suit. No, dangerous.
Is that the same philosophy of the people that are running in the heat with, like, hand weights and leg weights?
Well, if you're running in the heat, I mean, maybe you just like to run outside. And if you're running with weights, maybe you just want more of a workout. So who knows why they're doing
it. Does that really work, though, to run with weights? Seriously?
Well, to run with weights on your ankles is actually really bad. On the hips and the knees, because it changes...
The way you're...
kinesthetically speaking, not biochemistry. Come on, Jillian. The kinesiology, the way the human body functions, you're not supposed to have weights on your ankles.
Okay.
It's bad. No. But you could run with a vest on.
People, really? Yeah. Because I saw that. I saw a guy the other day.
It's a better way to distribute it. I personally, again, would just think like, really? But people do. They jump with weight vests on. And I don't like all the weight on the spine. But I mean, if you were going to add weight during a run, you would not want it on your ankles. You'd want it on in a little weight vest.
And not that. What about the hands?
You can.
Okay.
I mean, you can, but it's far worse on the ankles. It's not going to do much to the hands, except fatigue the hell out of your shoulders and your biceps.
Yeah.
You won't get that much greater of a calorie burn. But if you did put a weight vest on, that's how you do it. If you're power walking and you just want the bicep burn, then okay. But don't put it on the feet.
Gotcha.
Don't put it on the ankles.
All right. See, that could be added to your list. The weights. See? Helping every chance I get.
Thank you.
Yep.
And don't forget to check out Blue Apron subscription service with no commitment. You can cancel anytime you want. Go to blueapron.com/Jillian. It's great for you, great for families, great for couples, people on the go who want a healthier alternative to take out. blueapron.com/Jillian has you covered.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.